540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. For one of the survivors of Monday night's Michigan State University shootings, this was not her first time being involved in a mass shooting at school.
For Michigan State senior Jackie Matthews,
we can no longer allow this to happen.
There's a reason she's feeling this way.
I am 21 years old, and this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through.
As she explained in her TikTok video, she was just a child when she was a student at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut in 2012.
The fact that this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through is incomprehensible.
Matthews lives directly across the street from where the Monday night shootings occurred.
We can no longer just provide love and prayers. It needs to be legislation. It needs to be action. It's not okay.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Mark Milley, says it's been tough to recover the debris from three aerial objects shot down recently.
Off the coast of Alaska is in some really, really difficult terrain in the Arctic Circle. Very, very low temperatures in the minus 40s. The second one is in the Canadian Rockies in Yukon. Very difficult to get that one. And the third one is in Lake Huron, probably a couple hundred feet depth. So we'll get them eventually, but it's going to take some time to recover those.
The White House is now saying the objects may have been benign. The UN is asking for almost $400 million to help the nearly 5 million survivors of this month's earthquakes in an area of Syria. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is there.
The need here is so great, but so little aid has come here to northern Syria, and people are desperate.
A desperation that is tangled up in the fault lines of Syria's decade-long civil war. President Bashar al-Assad is trying to control all of the supply routes, and world leaders don't want to legitimize the regime they've sanctioned.
And now comes word that a 4.8 magnitude earthquake has struck off the coast of the Big Island of Hawaii. The U.S. Geological Survey says there's no tsunami threat. Now that former South Carolina governor and U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley has revealed her plans to run for president, she has some questions to answer. Larry Sabato, the director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia.
She said she wasn't going to run against Trump, and now she is. She's going to have to explain why she flip-flopped on that. And she had better get to her explanation quickly, because I don't think Donald Trump is going to hold back.
Haley is expected to make her formal announcement later this morning. Consumer prices went up more than expected last month. One reason, the cost of auto insurance. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
Premiums have risen more than $240 on average, topping $2,000 a year. Florida drivers saw the biggest jump, up nearly twice that amount to almost $3,200 a year.
Police say a man who mowed down people with a U-Haul truck on Monday in New York City was suffering from an apparent mental health crisis. He's been identified as Weng Sor. This is CBS News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people in France are in the streets right now. Well, yesterday, I don't know about today. We'll find out in just a moment. On the line with us is our old buddy Cole Stangler, the French-American journalist based in Marseille, France now, covering labor and politics. He's a correspondent for the international news network France 24. His website, Cole Stangler, STANGLER.com. That's also, Cole Stangler is also his Twitter handle. Cole, welcome back to the program. It's been a while since we talked. Fill us in on what's going on in France right now. Why and what?
Yeah, thanks as always for having me on, Tom. So this is a protest movement that's erupted over the government's proposal to hike the earliest possible retirement age in France from 62 years, where it is right now, to 64 years old. Again, that's the lowest level at which you can retire with a full pension. So the government reform would do that. It would also, a little bit more specific measure, it would accelerate the phase-in of the minimum amount of years you need to work in order to get a full pension. So that would be 43 years, and that would also be coming in more quickly than previously planned with this reform. So you have these two measures that have provoked a lot of opposition. Essentially, we've had multiple days of strikes and protests over this proposal from Emmanuel Macron for a few reasons. Just a couple of the real simple ones are, for one, on the left, the labor movement and the left-wing parties that have been mobilizing against this reform consider the right to retire with dignity to be sort of a bedrock issue that they've fought generations to have. You know, people have likened it to, I've been speaking with left-wing MPs here who've said that really the question of retirement touches on this core issue of having time off from work that the left has always been fighting for generations. So
first, MPs, you know, having, being members
having
of
Sunday
Parliament.
Off, Saturday off.
MPs is a phrase most Americans don't know. They think you're talking military police. You mean members of Parliament.
You're right, Tom. Yeah. So members of Parliament. So deputies is the term here for the National Assembly. So left-wing members of the National Assembly in France, one I was speaking to, François Ruffin, said this is, retirement is like these other battles that we've had, the woman has always fought for, to have time off from work. No, Sunday off from work, Saturday off from work, less, hours of the week you're working. Retirement is something that was won. The system was created after World War II by a communist labor minister. François Mitterrand, the socialist president who won in 1981, one of his big moves was to lower the retirement age. So you have this kind of long history of fighting for a lower retirement age and fighting for retirement as a sort of bedrock left-wing value in general. That's what has the left mobilized. But obviously, Tom, what we're seeing with this mobilization, over 1 million people in the streets on multiple occasions, shows that there's a deeper sense of injustice here. And that's because a lot of people fundamentally believe this reform is unfair. France spends a lot of money on maintaining its pension system, around 14% of its GDP. But the benefits that you get at the end of your career are pretty strong, especially compared to the United States. And so people feel like the government really isn't maintaining their end of the social contract here. I think that's what it really boils down to. This reform, fundamentally, it's going to affect two. It's going to affect blue-collar workers, the most people that have, put in long careers in tough professions that are just waiting for that, the ability to retire. They're going to have to wait a little bit longer. It's going to affect women more than men. Because they tend to take more time off from work, for raising families, for leave after childbirth. It's going to affect low wage workers who often begin their careers earlier. So, if you think about this, already blue collar workers have than white collar workers. They have less time to benefit from retirement, which is sort of a grim reality. So there's a sort of sense of injustice that I think goes beyond. Goes beyond the sort of smaller community of the labor movement and the left. And that's why you have this sort of big opposition that shows, right. 7 in 10 French people are opposed to this reform.
Now, here in the United States, when you talk to Republicans about why they want to, why, for example, Reagan raised the retirement age here from 65 to 67, which just recently took effect. And now you've got, numerous Republicans talking about raising the retirement age from 67 up to 70 here in the United States. And the argument that they always make is that, the system just doesn't have the money to pay for all these retirement benefits unless we raise taxes on rich people. And Republicans are absolutely unwilling to raise taxes on rich people. We now have a proposal that was just introduced yesterday by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to lift the cap on Social Security. Right now, if you make over $150,000 or $160,000 a year, you don't pay anything into Social Security. They wanted to lift that cap so that billionaires are paying into Social Security, and that would solve the problem. Is that kind of dynamic, this financial excuse and protecting of the very, very rich in France, what Macron is doing? I mean, is he just kind of a Bill Clinton neoliberal?
Yeah, so this is a huge debate right now, this sort of numbers game that's happening. The government, that's been the justification for this reform, as one might expect. They're saying this is a difficult move. It's maybe unpopular. It's maybe tough, but it's ultimately necessary for the financial viability of the system. They point to the fact that you have a small deficit that's expected to emerge in the coming years as evidence for essentially the need to have this reform. They say it's gonna generate these savings to plug that hole in the deficit, that budget hole. So the government's own state body that researches the pension system projects this to be around 10 to 12 billion euros. Sounds like a lot of money. It's around 1% of GDP when you consider how much money France spends on the retirement system overall. So the government has this financial justification for it. It's not entirely backed up by their own research. And I think there's, perhaps one of the compelling arguments I've heard against the government's cases comes from people who've said, well, look at the government's budget that it's its own budget proposals. Look at the government's budget proposal to the European Commission, which they put forth every year, in which they say they expect to generate savings from retirement reform to finance the rest of their agenda. So I think, if you wanted to be a little bit more cynical about the government's line here, that this is supposedly necessary for the financial viability of the system, you might say something like, perhaps this reform is ultimately generating savings that are necessary to finance the rest of the government's agenda, which revolves around tax cuts for business, tax cuts for the ultra wealthy. I think that's a more cynical kind of way to look at it, and frankly, a fairly compelling argument you might make. Because again, like I said at the beginning, the government's own body that looks at the financial health of the system does not say that, we have a system that's on the brink of collapse. So you had a lot of debate around the numbers. The system is quite different from the United States, but I think one parallel we can draw is certainly this case that somehow, the proponents of cuts that are going to hurt working class people are saying this isn't financially necessary, when in fact, there's a lot of debate just about the numbers that they're advancing.
Now, Cole, correct me if I'm wrong. My recollection is that when you and I first met, when you started becoming a guest on our program, that you were still living here in the United States. And I know that you've been a keen observer of American politics and writer about it, you know, for numerous publications over the years, as well as, you know, then you moved to France and now you're you know, working with France 24 and all that sort of thing. If that's the case, if I'm remembering correctly, could you give us, from your perspective, I mean, you've lived in both worlds now, what are the differences and similarities between the United States and France that is causing hundreds of thousands or millions of French people to go out on the streets pissed off because they, you know, Macron wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, and yet here in the United States, just in the last two or three years, you know, and this was put into place by Reagan in 1983, but he was, you know, smart enough to put a 40-year time, you know, make it a timed landmine that would last long, you know, that wouldn't happen until he was long dead, you know, of raising the retirement age from 65 to 67. And yet there's not a peep from Americans about it. It's like we're just eating it, you know? Why?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I think one of the big differences when you look at the countries is that in the United States, people often have supplemental plans for retirement, whether it's 401ks or maybe they're, you know, they have some sort of plan with their employer.
Pension.
It might not be a defined benefit plan, but they have supplemental plans. They're not only relying on Social Security. Some people do, but they're not. A lot of people aren't only relying on Social Security. When you look at France, the concept of, you know, a sort of private retirement fund is alien to most people. Mm-hmm. Most people in France rely on this system for their retirement. There's not really a plan B for a lot of people. So I think immediately it touches people. It touches people more significantly. I think that's one reason, just how expansive this system is. The second reason is that the pension system here is very, very effective. People have an attachment to this because it works. Mm-hmm. If you look at the rate of senior poverty, for instance, in France, it has one of the lowest rates among all OECD countries. I think it's just below Denmark with the lowest rate of senior poverty. So mm-hmm. better than the US, better than the UK, better than Germany and Sweden, these other kind of hallmarks of social democracy. So very low rate of senior poverty because of the system. And secondly, there's a very high what's known as a net replacement ratio. So in other words, the share of benefits that you're getting from your pension compared to what you were earning over your career. In France, it's something like 73-74%. In the US, it's much lower than that. I think around 50%, if not lower than 50%, 40%. So I think for all those reasons, I think these are really important distinctions. So more people are concerned by this reform, or they feel it immediately. And it's affecting a system that's really effective for people. They've been sort of paying into the system their entire lives, often at quite high levels of you know, quite high contribution levels. They're expecting to, in return, you know, get a decent retirement. And that's sort of part of the social contract in France. And the government is essentially saying on their end, you know, we're now changing the social contract in the middle, you know, the very end when you're expected to benefit from it.
Yeah.
I think all that is a big reason why. And then another big reason is, you know, the strength of the labor movement and the left in France, which has, I think, perhaps more power than the United States. It's a whole other discussion, though.
Yeah, indeed. And one for the future. Cole, thanks so much for dropping by. It's always so nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You can check out Cole's work over on France 24, his website, ColeStangler.com. You can tweet him at Cole Stangler. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a proposal to fix Social Security. They just dropped it in the Senate yesterday. I'll tell you about that. And women are being jailed in Arizona for voting.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at hartmanreport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, hartmanreport.com. And welcome back. So the Sanders-Warren plan would tax the rich to increase Social Security payments. I think at the opening of the show, I said $2,400 a month. Forgive my misstatement. $2,400 a year. $200 a month. And if we simply raise the cap, right now, if you make under $160,200, it changes every year because of inflation. It was in the 140s or 150s last year. I know it was in the 140s the year before that. But it's now $160,200. If you make more than that, you pay not one penny in Social Security taxes. And, you know, that's wrong. If you make more than $500,000 a year, you pay not one penny in Medicare taxes. That's wrong, too. So Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in the Senate and Representative Jan Schakowsky, one of my heroes in the House of Representatives, and Van Hoyle, Democrat of Oregon. And I don't, you know, Van is, I think,
a new, he was just, Van was just elected. Do you know, Sean? I'm not sure who Van Hoyle is. But Van Hoyle is a Democrat from Oregon, according to this article. Maybe they got the state wrong, or you know, maybe I just missed something. But in any case, Jan Schakowsky and Van Hoyle in the House and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders in the Senate have introduced what's called the Social Security Expansion Act. And what the Social Security Expansion Act does, it does not raise taxes on 93% of households who make under $160,000. Excuse me, under $250,000. But if you make more than $250,000, now they're probably going to have to change this to $400,000 to satisfy Joe Biden's campaign promise of not raising taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000 a year. But even at a quarter million, if enacted, this is from Common Dreams, if enacted, the bill would have raised more than $3.4 billion just from the nation's 11 highest paid CEOs just in 2011 alone, including $2.9 billion from Tesla and Twitter executive Elon Musk. Whoa. And that would allow Social Security not only to be solvent until 2096, when, you know, probably pretty much anybody listening to this program is long gone, but it would also allow Social Security to immediately raise your monthly benefits by $200 a month. So, you know, not too shabby. And I'm assuming that that would apply to people on Social Security disability as well. As the Sanders office noted, quote, before 1935, when it was signed into law by President Roosevelt, about 50% of the nation's seniors were living in poverty, as well as countless Americans living with disabilities and surviving dependents of deceased workers. Nearly 90 years later, the senior poverty rate is down to 10.3%. And in 2021 alone, during the onslaught of the pandemic, Social Security lifted 26.3 million Americans out of poverty, including more than 18 million seniors. And then he goes on to say, despite this long legacy of combating poverty, more must be done. While the average Social Security benefit is only $1,688 a month, nearly 40% of seniors rely on Social Security for the majority of their income. One in seven rely on it for more than 90% of their income. Nearly half of Americans age 55 and over have no retirement savings at all. So that's that, you know, and by the way, this is liked. I mean, it's not going to pass Congress because the right-wing billionaires are lobbying against it and giving money to politicians, particularly Republicans. But 72% of Republicans want this to happen. 75% of independents want this to happen. 85% of Democrats want it to happen. Overall, 78% of likely voters want this
to
happen.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So consider calling your member of Congress at 202-224-3121 and just saying, raise the damn Social Security cap, please.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Going to bed at a decent hour didn't always mean I got enough sleep. Often I was either too hot, too cold, just not comfortable. That changed with my Cozy Earth bedding, the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding on the planet. Cozy Earth bedding is naturally temperature regulating, so Louise and I sleep great in any weather. And we're not alone. Like this 5-star review from Laura, quote, "My husband and I are getting the best sleep we've ever had, to the point where we don't wake up in the middle of the night because we're so comfortable. I can't wait to buy more colors." Cozy Earth bedding is made from the finest materials, including premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. And Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's favorite things 5 years in a row. Whether it's their luxury sheets, available in 5 awesome colors, loungewear, pajamas, or premium waffle bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief, the Michigan State University community is trying to recover from the killings of 3 students Monday night.
The places that everything happened are the places I find comfort in, and now it's a crime scene.
The shooter killed himself. It's possible the objects the U.S. brought down in the past week weren't a threat, says CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The objects the U.S. shot down last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday could have been benign, used for research or commercial purposes. The administration is this week developing protocols for how such objects should be handled going forward.
The situation is dire in northern Syria more than a week after massive earthquakes caused widespread devastation. Martin Schwepp is with the International Red Cross.
It's a race against time to make sure that as much aid as possible can reach these people in order to help them stay warm, help to get food, help to get medicine.
The death toll in Syria and Turkey now exceeds 41,000. CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. Cruising is the absolute coolest way to vacation. There's nothing better. I have taken so many, Louise and I have taken so many cruises. They're just what you only unpack once, right? And then you go to all these places, your hotel goes with you. Plus, they have spectacular food. So whether you're a history buff, a foodie, or you just want to relax and take in the sights, American Cruise Lines has a little something special for everyone. Choose to explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you only read about, savor exquisite Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the ultimate roots of rock and roll in Memphis. Or you can choose to explore our part of the world, the beautiful Columbia and Snake Rivers. You'll retrace the scenic natural landscapes of Multnomah Falls, Mount St. Helens, and the incredible Columbia River Gorge as you retrace the historic steps of Lewis and Clark. Come aboard the newest fleet of American River boats. Relax on your own private balcony as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. All righty, one last story for you here, and then we pick up your phone calls in Arizona. You know the story of how in Texas and Florida, Governors Abbott and DeSantis have been proudly parading black people in front of cameras with, you know, in shackles for voting, typically voting while felons, right? Both states make it illegal for felons to vote. In Florida, there was a citizens' referendum that legalized felons voting, but then the state legislature came in and said, yeah, but you've got to prove before you can get registered to vote that you don't owe anything on any, you know, on any old tickets or anything like that. And it's really hard to prove a negative, right? So you've got to go get the certificate from the state, and nobody knows how to do that. And so it's basically, you know, if you're a felon in Florida, you're still screwed. You can't vote. But a lot of felons didn't know that. They knew that the law was passed, you know, passed Congress. It got a lot of publicity. And so they go to the DMV, and the DMV says, sure, yeah, sure, you can vote. Here you go. Here's your registration card. They vote, and then, you know, they get arrested, and Ron DeSantis puts them on TV. That really effectively suppressed the black vote in Florida in the 2022 election. We know this now, that it helped Rick Scott get elected. It helped Ron DeSantis get elected. Because so many black people in Florida were just, frankly, afraid to vote. And we saw the same thing in Texas. And now it's gone to Arizona, although in Arizona, the large minority population in that state is not black, it's Hispanic. And so they're going after Hispanics in Arizona. This is from Raw Story by Kerry Lerner. It's from the Michigan Advance, actually. Dateline San Luis, Arizona. The small city in San Luis is tucked away in the far corner of Arizona, closer to Mexico than any major U.S. city. The community is 95% Latino. And it's the kind of place where you know your neighbors and their parents and cousins. And in this place, they don't have regular postal delivery. The mailman or woman, the postal carrier, doesn't come to your home. You have to go to the post office. And, you know, the post office is in a part of town where most people have to drive there, and a lot of people don't have cars. The average income in this town is a little under $15,000 a year. It's a poor town. And so what would happen was, you know, on election day, people would get, you know, absentee ballots, which are legal, have been for 30 years in Arizona. People would get their absentee ballots. And, you know, they'd give them to a friend or a neighbor who was going to run down to the post office and drop them off. Well, last year, Arizona outlawed that. Actually, in 2016, they made it a felony punishable by prison time to carry somebody else's ballot to the post office to mail it. And it got challenged in the courts, and went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in 2021, year before last, the Supreme Court said, that's fine, you want to suppress the vote in Arizona, we're happy with that, because the Supreme Court has got a bunch of, frankly, racists on it, racist Republicans. So now the Arizona Attorney General's office has started arresting people, including the town's mayor, Guillermina Fuentes, who carried a couple of neighbors' ballots to the post office as a favor. And there was one of these right-wing people from the so-called True the Vote group who was videotaping at the post office and saw that the mayor was carrying four ballots. The mayor, by the way, is a 66-year-old grandmother and a former farm worker. She's a member of the school board and the leader of the local Democratic Party. And she was sentenced for bringing four completed ballots to the post office. She was sentenced to a month in prison, a month in jail, and 2 years of probation. And by the way, it's a felony. So she was convicted of a felony. So now she can no longer vote at all. This is all from, this happened last year, this crime, end quote, is just now being adjudicated. This crime happened last year when Arizona's Attorney General was Mark Brnovich. He's no longer. He was running for the U.S. Senate, actually, during that time. And he was trying to make a name for himself. And so he was arresting brown people and parading them in front of cameras. On October 19th, Brnovich announced two more indictments. This is last year, just before the election, a month before the election, against women in the Democratic-leaning town within a county that voted for Trump by 6 points in 2020. The Democratic Attorney General's office, the Republican Attorney General's office, alleges that the women collected 8 ballots. Oh, my God. And so now, you know, the mayor of the town, Ms. Fuentes, her daughter, Lizette Esperanza, says she wakes up each morning in fear of how conspiracy theorists will talk about her family on social media. We're living a nightmare right now, she said. They're not going to want to vote, especially now, because they're scared. In other words, people, Hispanics in the community who have traditionally been voting Democratic are afraid to vote. And this is obscene. And then, you know, and the reason why, by the way, they give their ballots to their neighbors, in addition to many of them not having cars, she notes, this is the daughter of the mayor, she notes, you know, these are farm workers. They leave at 5 in the morning and they come back at 8 at night. Now, when, you know, the post office is open from 9 to 5 or 9 to 4, when are you going to have time to go vote? And if you take time off work, you can get penalized, you can get fired, and you certainly lose money. I mean, you know, the article here notes, before the ballot collection law was passed, it was not uncommon for residents of San Luis to rely on friends, neighbors, or volunteers to bring their ballots to the post office or help return them to a voting center or drop box. But since the U.S. Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, it is now legal to send these people to jail. Gary Snyder is the local Republican who recorded the cell phone video that led to this prosecution. He shared it with David Lara, another local Republican, and then that forced the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, the State Attorney General's Office, to look into this, and Brnovich launched, he's got an election integrity unit, and they launched an investigation. Uniformed sheriff deputies knocked on their doors early in the morning to ask about their voting history. Prosecutors charged Fuentes with conspiracy, forgery, and 2 counts of ballot abuse. She pleaded guilty to ballot abuse, which is, you know, delivering the ballot on behalf of your neighbor, which is a felony. And the state dropped the other charges. This is just breathtaking. This harsh sentence, this article in Raw Story says, the harsh sentence will also help conservatives, quote, further the narrative. This is from Annie Guana, a Phoenix-based election lawyer. The harsh sentence will help conservatives further the narrative that there is actual fraud in our elections, which there was no evidence of here. In other words, they're going to say, yeah, see, look at all these women that we sent to, these Hispanic women that we sent to prison for voter fraud. Obviously, we have voter fraud. It's amazing. Now, on the other side, there was a 64-year-old Republican white woman who did the same thing, but Brnovich's office, the then attorney general running for the Senate, because she was white and she was wealthy, she was from Scottsdale, Arizona, she was sentenced to 2 years probation and no jail time at all. Democrats in the House have introduced a bill to do away with this, but the Republicans are saying, no way, don't even think about it, not a chance. We love sending black and brown people to prison for voting. Fascism. It's fascism. Let's pick up your phone calls here. Morris. Hey, Morris, what's on your mind today?
How much time we got, Tom?
Whatever you need.
Oh, good enough. Let me start here. While I was on hold, you were reading a book from Ezra Klein, Why We're Polarized. Mm-hmm. And from what I remember from his conversations, what I took from that was the brutal power of negative partisanship. The brutal power of right. negative partisanship, which feeds our culture wars, right? Which is a euphemism. And all of that is designed, Tom, to mask and hide what's really going on. That $40 trillion of wealth that's been transferred to these guys and these to the top class, they don't even want to pay Social Security anymore, you see. And so then it's working for them. And racism does have a place now in our society. Let's be frank about this. Racism, it blinds us. It blinds us. It changes narrative and focus. We should be focusing on the money, and we're down here in these gutters with these culture wars, okay? And then the next thing I want to get on is regarding the classified documents with the president. Papa Joe is the president of the United States. According to Donald Trump, the president can declassify. So all Papa Joe's got to do is say that stuff that was found in my Corvette, I'm going to go on and declassify that. Okay, what's the next narrative y'all got? Okay, and then the last thing I want to talk to you about is a guy named Scott Horton. I was listening to his podcast. He's on KPFK. You know about these folks, Tom. He's got an anti-war podcast. And he introduced me to a guy named Max Blumenthal. And then I read Max Blumenthal's book called Goliath.
I've known Max for years. I visited Moscow with Max. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you saying that. That's important. From listening to these guys, I'm getting the impression that Israel is a Judeo-fascist country. Is that an appropriate comment to make?
I think the better way to say it, because the structure of Israel is broadly not, setting aside, as hard as that is to do, what's going on in Gaza and the West Bank. But what Netanyahu is trying to do right now is overrule the courts. So if the courts convict him of a crime, he can simply overturn that, or he can have the Knesset their parliament overturn that. And that's the legislation that he has pending right now, which gives him or the parliament the power to simply, ignore even the Supreme Court of Israel. And people are seriously pissed about it, because that then embeds structural fascism into the Israeli system.
What is the definition of fascism for everybody that uses it loosely and whatnot? Just look at it this way. It's an absence of oversight. There is no oversight with these guys, okay?
Yeah, that's a good definition.
And lastly, I want to ask you, Tom, I know you don't know about this because you've been good to your wife. Have you ever heard of MeetSugarDaddy.com?
No.
MeetSugarDaddy.com, that's where Ted Cruz was on, and that's where he met Lauren Bobert, right? And Lauren Bobert's husband, I'm jealous on this one, Lauren Bobert's husband, Jason, he got a contract with an energy company for $460,000 as a consultant, and he don't know nothing about energy.
Wait a minute. Is this her husband, Jason, who whipped his penis out in a bowling alley to show to some teenage girl?
No, I can't go there, but I can't go here.
Apparently he's got a tattoo on it he wanted to show off, and he got busted for it. I think he went to jail for it. I don't know if she's got a new husband or not, but if it's only one husband, that's the guy. So she got him a cushy job that pays hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? Really?
$460,000. Now, let me tell you who Lauren Bobert is. This is a woman that had an accident, left the scene of the accident, paid off a witness. Okay, remember how Ted Cruz brought her in. Ted Cruz gave $126,000 to a donation for her campaign. Can you believe it? So these are the kind of character people that we're dealing with. I'm going to leave you with this. We got us a new hero. I love this woman. Her name is Jessica Tarlov, T-A-R-L-O-V. She's on the five. And she knocks them down like bowling balls. She's a progressive, good-looking, sharp woman. Jessica Tarlov. Go to Fox whenever she's on there.
I'll check it out.
Thanks for the time, John.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Morris. Always nice hearing from you. Thank you so much. We will be right back. It's 48 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman program, speaking the truths, the multinational corporations, and frankly, the Republican Party. I'd really rather you didn't know all about.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back with your calls here on the place where smart people get their news.
Vet bills piling up? Temporary prescriptions not cutting it? When your pet has an unscratchable itch, dull coat, or fur loss, you do everything you can to help. But the truth is, these issues start with their food. Sometimes pets just need a little something to balance out their bowl. Dinobite nutritional supplements add essential nutrients to mealtime to support a healthy digestive tract, skin and coat, and immune system. Because when your pet is their healthiest self, they're also their happiest self.
We were at a loss until we tried Dinovite. After just a few weeks, Maggie stopped all the itching and shedding. She had a healthy, shiny coat. Just a huge relief for all of us, but especially Maggie.
Try it before you buy it. Go to Dinovite.com to get your 15-day free trial.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dinovite.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Caral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Hey, looking for a quiet, relaxing summer vacation to the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of New England? Then let me introduce you to one of my favorites, American Cruise Lines. Aboard this new fleet of small cruise ships, and they're small, they're comfortable, they're just wonderful. You will be transported to popular destinations like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Newport. In addition, this remarkable cruise will explore the scenic harbors and intimate ports along Maine's protected coastline. You'll marvel at the granite mountains of Acadia National Park. You'll admire the classic schooners in Camden Harbor. And best of all, you'll be treated to an authentic and not to mention delicious lobster bake on the shores of Maine. Throughout this all-inclusive journey, you can relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air and taking in the sights as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Simply request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. And welcome back. Picking up your calls here, Beth in Valparaiso, Indiana. Hey, Beth, what's up?
Hey there, Tom. Greetings from Valparaiso.
Thank you.
I wanted to just touch on two things. One, the original question you started the show with about why are people turning to authoritarian governments? But before I do that, I have to make a quick defense of Machiavelli. I had a political science professor that based his, he said, all you need to do is read The Prince, and you really don't need to study political science any further than that.
Oh, there's a lot of truth to that.
And would be right. It's a very practical guide to one of the Italian princes about how to basically rule, sometimes cruelly and sometimes very efficiently, but it's very cynical, and that's why people use the phrase Machiavellian to describe that behavior. However, he later in his life, he died in poverty, and later in his life, he wrote some amazing things called the Discourses. They were about Roman history, and there's a whole section that you might want to look at entitled The Multitude is Wiser and More Constant Than a Prince. And it basically puts forth the very strong thing, that which I wish some of our founding fathers would have read, that you should always trust the mob, because whatever mistakes they made can be softened. But the only way to solve a prince problem is with cold steel, as he says. And he said that any group of individuals, no matter how lowly, if two people give them the facts of either side of a case, kind of like the jury system, they will make the wise decision because people have that wisdom and they should be trusted to govern themselves.
Whoa.
And so he really stood up in a very interesting way for those kind of thoughts.
That's fascinating. Thank you for that, Beth. You've given me homework.
Yeah, for the Discourses. Yeah. But here's the thing. I think for a few years now, I don't care what the surveys say about, only 45% of people really believe global warming is a huge problem. I think that's complete crock, because I think that's what's troubling people. All around the world, people see the garbage patch in the Pacific. They see smoke going up in the air in some of these newly industrialized countries. They see they see flooding in Bangladesh and storms and all these things. And they know that it's climate change, and they know it's because our greed and our empire building have brought us to this. And I think collectively we're all going through kind of a little nervous breakdown of, this feels out of control to me. What am I going to do? Where are my grandchildren going to be? I have a niece that has a little girl, and I think by the time she's 40, what kind of world will she live in? You know, so we got to do something about it, and that's why the youth got to keep voting and get us smart again.
Yeah,
we can do it.
And the Democratic Party needs a major outreach to the Zoomers, you know, to the generation coming up.
Absolutely, let's attack the underpinnings of this thing. You know,
I'm with you, Beth. Thank you for that, and thank you for the further information on Mr. Machiavelli. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com. Explore the mighty Columbia and Snake Rivers with American Cruise Lines. Visit the scenic landscapes of stunning Multnomah Falls and Mount St. Helens. Retrace the historic steps of explorers Lewis and Clark as you cruise the Columbia River Gorge aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax in your private balcony while the crew provides you with the highest level of personalized service, all waiting for you to experience. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Show.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.